need to be in that place. Jesus said, He warned all through the Old Testament. Jeremiah talked about it. Isaiah talked about it. Ezekiel talked about it. Talked about the watchmen of God. They become blind. They become in a place, in a position where it was about what they wanted. Their agenda, their plan. And they thought they could twist God's arm. We're not twisting God's arm. Amen? God is putting the devil under the feet of Jesus continually. And we've got to be in that place. Amen? And so this morning, I want us to see we've got to stand up. Now, you're going to suffer persecution. The more you stand up for Jesus, people are going to talk about you. They're going to say all things against you. Jesus said that's when you know that you were blessed in Matthew chapter 5. If your people are not talking about you, guess what? We're not salty enough. If people's not talking about us, we're not shining enough light on darkness. And the signs that people need to see are spiritual, not worldly. The world is presenting a false gospel. Paul warned up in the book of Galatians. He said, if they come to you and they preach another gospel, that means there's another gospel out there, but it's not a God. Amen? And you and I this morning, we've got to be in the place where we say, Jesus, I thank you for the cross. Jesus, I thank you that your blood is the answer for everything. And I'm willing to pick up my cross and go by the strength and the power of your cross. I'm willing to make a stand. You and I, we've got to stand up and say what's right. We've got to say what's wrong. People today, they're walking wishy-washy. They're walking in this way and that way. They need a sign. They need a spiritual sign. They need an anointing of God on somebody's life. And I want you to say, that's me this morning. Amen? We've got to be strong. Jesus said, look all around. He said, you think you're doing good because you can look. And you can see what's going to happen. Come on, you can open up your smartphone. You can turn on your television. And they can predict what's going to happen at least for the next 7 days. And they've got better and better. Like Brother Corey, I loved it what he said sitting right here teaching Sunday school class. He looked at his phone and the radar immediately showed him he had an hour and a half of weather left. Come on, the world is smart in the things of the world. The devil is smart in his things, in his operations of bringing deception and causing people to get so caught up in all the temporal things. But you and I, we've got to be so salty. We've got to be so warm with the glow of the fire of God that people come out of a cold world and they sit down beside you because you've got something in your heart that warms them up, that pulls them up. People have a coldness in them. They have a deadness in them. But inside of the child of God is the life of the Holy Ghost. And you and I have got to be in that place where we call them to see. We are empowered by the Spirit of God to cause them to see the spiritual signs before it's too late. Jesus said, look around. You can see what's happening in the world. You can tell if it's going to rain. You can tell if it's going to storm. But look at that last part of verse 3. He said, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. That word signs of time, this time here is a set time. It's an appointed time. Come on, there's a lot of things. We talked about this morning about the perfect, the acceptable, or the good will of God in Romans 12, 2. But you and I have got to be in a place, in a position where we see that there's a set time. God has set you up for this time. He has set you up. You have come to this point of time not because of mistakes, not because of the devil. You are here right now because God Almighty has appointed and set you in this place. And everything the devil has meant for harm in your life to destroy you, God wants to use it for the glory of His Son. He wants to use it for a witness, for a testimony. He wants to use it to show people in the world that you are at one time were like them, but now you trust in the hand of the living God. You trust in Jesus, amen? And you discern, you see what's happening. And notice what he said. He said that a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but just like he told them in Matthew chapter 12, down about verse 38, he said, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, that's all you're going to see. And he left and he departed them. God's not going to deal with the religious. He is wanting to deal with those who are looking. You and I, we can get overwhelmed because there's going to be always somebody from another church, from another belief, that's going to come and they're going to want to argue with you. Take up your time. Take up your energy. No. There's too many people out there who are looking for a sign, talking about Jesus, looking for a truth, looking for a love of God. That's where you and I are going to put all of our emphasis. This morning, in the name of Jesus, right now by the Holy Ghost, let everything that is on you, that is robbing your time, your finances, your strength, be broke in Jesus' name. Let you have liberty. Let you have strength to see what is the plan of God, the will of God, and understand the signs, and you will not be distracted, and you will not give in and allow the enemy to rob about one more second of what God has ordained you to do and be. Amen? So here's the times. Here's the times we're in. God's set time. God's perfect time. We need to see some things. We need to understand some things that we can get down in our spirit. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it is. No, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's see some things here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is how we can know that we're in the time of the end. Amen. This is just one place. There's many places in the Bible, but I don't have time in this short time period. Notice what it says. 2 Timothy 3 and 1. This know also that in what? The last days. What time are we talking about? The last days. What are we talking about? Before the coming of the Lord. Before the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Perilous times. Come on now. Difficult times. Has it ever been more of a difficult time for a Christian to live? Come on. It's hard. But it's hard for the people in the world. These are difficult, perilous times because the devil is increasing his attack. He knows he has but a short season. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour you. But there's many people out there that's being devoured day by day. Amen? These are difficult times. What's going to be happening so you'll know where you're at? For men, mankind, better said, mankind shall be lovers of their own selves. Come on, are we in the last days? Are we in the last times? Have you ever seen a time where men is more in love with themselves? Come on, we've got to be honest. We're heaping up riches to ourselves. In the world, they'll let somebody starve to death right beside them, and it will not affect them. It's just like Lazarus and the rich man. You say, well, I would never do that. Jesus said, who is faithful over least will be faithful over much. Oh. We all want to give large amounts of money. We all want to give large amounts of love. We want to all give large amounts of time. We all want to do these great big things for God, but we'll never do the big things for God until we do the little things. When we're faithful in least, he said, we'll be faithful in much. So if you want to do something great for God, start right where you're at. Come on now. Holy Ghost is all over my toes. Amen. Start where I'm at. And then God will bless it. He'll magnify it. And it'll be something that'll be beyond our imagination. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. So we're at the time of the end. We're at the time of the end. Mankind shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be covetous. Sound familiar? Boasters. I don't have time to go into all this. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Have you ever seen a time? Come on, go to the store sometime. Go to the store sometime. There'll be a parent or a grandparent. They'll be buying a child something. And you think, oh, that is so sweet. The child could care less. Now, I'm not picking on children because it starts at home. I like what Brother JP said this morning. I let God be my friend. Because if I know he's my friend, I recognize the things that he gives me. And I'm appreciative. I'm thankful for those things. And when we're thankful for those things, he gives us more. Not to heap to ourselves. But come on, there's people out there in need. And God wants to get it to us so he can get it through us. Amen? That's our God. We can't outgive God. Amen? Oh, my, my, my. Okay, stay with me. He said, unthankful, unholy. Oh, man. We could preach all day on unholiness. Amen? But I got to hurry. Without natural affection. Come on. Romans chapter 1 tells us all about it. But it's not just that kind of unnatural affection. It's where you have people don't love people anymore. The love of a mother and a child has changed. The love of a father and a child has changed. I'm talking about in the world, but we're looking at, we want spiritual signs in a worldly world. We want to be able to see where we're at. It's not to discourage us. It's to encourage us and recognize and realize Jesus is coming and we've got to be about our master's business. Okay, I don't have time to read all of this, but real quickly, he said there'll be truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Sound familiar? Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Are we in the last days? We're in the last days. Here's the biggest one. Verse number 5. Having a form of godliness. We're created in the image of God. But I'm not from God. That's what they say. There was a big bang. There was a little old bitty atom that exploded. And there was just a little seed that crawled out of a spill of refuse of water. Come on. How retarded. Takes more faith to believe that than to believe in the Bible. Amen? Amen. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We're in the last days. He said that this know that also in the last days all of these things are going to come. There are 18 traits here. Count them. The number 18 in biblical numerics, every time you see 18, it means bondage. Have you ever seen a time in your life when there's not more bondage in the world? People are bound by so many different things. But Jesus said that whom the Son makes free, John 8:36, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. He wants to make you and I free. He wants to use us to help other people to be free. Now, let's think about this just for a second. We see all the negative side of this about what's happening. But could you put Daniel 12:4, another verse that will prove to you and I that we're in the last days, is Daniel 12:4. Now, in the book of Daniel 12:4, and if you're not studying the book of Daniel, you need to be reading the book of Daniel right now. Because it will help you so much. Daniel 8, oh my gosh. Come on, we're in the midst. We're in the midst. Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to when? Mark it down in your Bible, write on the table of your heart, even until the time of the end. Now, what helps us know that we're at the time of the end? What makes us understand it? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be what? At the time of the end, what's going to happen? Now, I wrote this down because I was afraid I'd miss it. Now, get this. In 2019, they have took a computer and they put all the knowledge information in it. And here's what it said. Knowledge on the average in 2019 is doubling every 13 months. Now, think about everything that's known in the world. In 13 months, it will be doubled what they know now. Okay, now wait a minute. Listen to this. Put it in context. Go back to 1900. In 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every 100 years. By the end of 1945, the rate was every 25 years. Here's the goal of those who are working on the New World Order. What's coming in Revelation 13? According to their plan, they want an internet of mind control that will lead to the doubling of knowledge every 12 hours. What's the sign of the last days besides those 18 traits we looked at in Timothy? Knowledge shall be increased. I encourage you to study that word knowledge and look at it in the Greek Septuagint. Do you know what the Greek Septuagint is? It's the Old Testament version. Come on, in Greek, and it they've got old manuscripts, and it's very profitable for us to look at. But I admonish you, I don't want to. But see what the word is, knowledge there in it, and it puts you in the sign of the time of where we're at. It makes these 18 traits become more real, more easily understood. But I don't have time to get into that. So we're in the time of the end. Jesus said, can you not discern the sign of the time, the sign of the set time? See, there's a chronos time in the Greek, and there's a kairos. A kairos is a set, unique moment of time. That's what we're living in, amen? The time that all the Word of God is coming into the fruition, and everything is starting to point against Israel. Come on. Ever since Obama withheld our vote, and the United Nations voted against Israel, and they made the nation of Israel illegal according to the United Nations. Now think about that. That's what happened in 2016. And now you've got all of them trying to come against this little nation, God's people. It's the last days. It's the end of the dispensation that we need to be looking to. We need to get a heart for. We need to see it. We need to understand. When you've got President Trump, who all of a sudden has done what no other president, even though they promised, he said, we're going to recognize Jerusalem. Amen. And he moves the embassy to Jerusalem. Come on, that's a sign. That's a sign. God says, can you not see? Can you not discern the signs of the times? None of the world will recognize Jerusalem as Israel's. They're trying to take it away from them. You and I have got to see what's fixing to happen. Come on now. In the week of the Feast of Purim, you know what President Trump did? He looked and he signed a proclamation. And that proclamation during the week of the Feast of Purim said that the Golan Heights was Israel's. Now, we know it's Israel's because God said it 4,000 plus years ago. Amen. He promised Abraham, he said, as far as you go this way, this way, this way, this way, it's yours. Amen? So God's done destined it, done ordained it, but they won it back in the 67 war. Amen? But we come in agreement with them. Oh, my, my, my. We come in agreement and we said, the Golan Heights, that's theirs. Now, you recognize and realize that the Golan Heights is the richest place of natural gas in the Middle East. There is more wealth laid up there. Come on, God knows exactly what He's doing, and He knows how He's going to fulfill everything where Jesus is going to come back and the Battle of Armageddon takes place. Because why? The riches is there is what's going to make Ezekiel 38 come to pass. Come on. The battle. It's going to happen because of man's greed and man's hatred of God's chosen people. But we're in these last days. We're in this time. But what else? What do we need to get to? We need to go to Matthew chapter 25. This is the time to watch. This is the time to watch. You know this. But we got to explain it to other people. We've got to live it before other people and make them. Matthew chapter 25 is the great parable of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. But I want you to look at verse number 13 after Jesus finishes up that parable. And look what He says. Matthew 25:13. He says, watch. Great job, y'all. He said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. He said, watch. Watch. Remember we said last week this word watch, gregario, it is a military term. It's for a soldier. It means to be sleepless, to be awake, but it means to be prepared for what your job is. You've got something to do. I've got something to do. We're not like the world who's just walking mindless trying to figure out what my purpose is, what my destiny is, what this life is all about. You know what this life is all about. You were blood washed, Holy Ghost infilled, and you have been bought to be a vessel in the Lord's army. You have a calling on your life. There is nothing that you can't do because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There is a vision that is in your heart. There is a desire in your heart. There is a love that's been being shed, brought in your heart to love people and to help them come under the loving God, the love of God that covers a multitude of sins. Amen? We've got something to do. The signs of the times in a worldly world is that we know what's happening. We know where we're at, and we're going to help other people come out of their stupor, come out of their darkness, come out of their spiritual sleep, and see that this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen? It's about what He wants to do in their life. Now, notice in this verse, go over to Luke chapter 12, and he goes into greater detail on this. Luke chapter 12. Now, let's start in verse number 35. I better get in the right book. I mean, the right chapter. Luke 12, 35. Jesus makes this statement. Let your loins, remember what we studied on Wednesday nights? Loins, remember what it is? Loins is your procreative power, your ability to reproduce. Let your loins, let your reproduction not be in the things of this world, but let it be in the things of God. Amen? All right. Let your loins be girded about with what? With truth, right? Ephesians 6:14 tells us that. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Oh, my, my, my. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 25:13 to watch. And He closed that up because of what He was talking about, that the five foolish virgins, they couldn't watch because they didn't have any what? They didn't have any oil in their lamps. They had lamps. Come on, they were virgins. They were in the family, but they were of no use to God. Now, you and I today, every day we get up, we say, thank you, God, that you have made me unto righteousness, that I am your servant, and I am useful in the plan and the will of God. Amen? You've got to let the devil know, because the devil's going to sit on your shoulder. You know what he told me last week? And I almost listened to him. It convinced me so bad. He said, you don't have a testimony. And before I thought, I entertained that. And in a moment, a flash before my eyes, the devil now is very good at his job. He started showing me y'all's testimony. He said, see, what's your testimony compared to theirs? My testimony is not compared to anybody else. Your testimony is not compared to anybody. It's yours. It's mine. Amen? I think I threw that in for free because I don't know where that was coming from and I don't know where I'm at. I'm completely out on a limb lost. What was I talking about? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and you yourself like unto men that wait. What are we doing? We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. Amen? He's coming. He's coming. As sure as you're sitting there and I'm standing here, Jesus is coming. And He's coming after you, a bride that's without spot, without blemish. Amen? And He's got a job for you to do. You and I, we're going to be a part. We're going to be a part of that great battle. We're going to be a part of the will and the plan of God all the way through this thing. Amen? They wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto Him immediately. Come on, there's no delay. No delay because you and I, in a moment, come on, we're ready. We're instant in season. We're instant out of season. Not because of us, but because of the grace of God. Because of the Holy Ghost in us. Because we're looking and we're seeing the times. Here's why we came here. Verse 37. He said, blessed are those servants. Say, that's me. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Watching. We're seeing spiritual signs even though we're in a worldly world. Amen. We're seeing it. We're watching. We're watching. He said, verily I say unto you. You know that word verily? Yeah, come on, it's a law term. Mark it down. As sure as you can be, He said, I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat and shall come forth and serve
them.
That's what Jesus is wanting to do. Now notice, and if he shall come in the second watch, or if he shall come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Come on, we're blessed. We're blessed because we can see spiritual signs in a worldly world. And this know, that if the gutman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not suffered his house to be broken through. Verse 40, then be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Now, just as all the people watched Noah build the ark. Come on, they watched him. They made fun of him. And he was a preacher of righteousness, Peter says. And whatever you believe or don't believe, I don't want to, you know, but I believe he had 120 years there. And that building of that ark, they walked by there, and that door was open. Come on, that door was open. Who shut the door of the ark? God with his own hand. Right now, we're under the dispensation of grace. The door of the grace of God is open. Amen? And anybody that will, come on, they can come and make their bloodline pure. That's what made Noah. Noah, he was a perfect pedigree. His bloodline, it was pure. Because Noah, Genesis 6:8, Noah found grace. Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Come on, you and I, we got to give people not religion, not our own ideals, not a lecture, but we got to give them grace. And if we'll give them grace and they find grace in the eyes of God, their bloodline is changed because God's blood of Jesus comes over them. Amen? And they can walk into that ark. And then his third watch, whatever, when God shuts the door, they're ready. They're ready. Amen? In closing, so it's the time of the end, and it's the time to be watching. But today, it's the time of salvation. It's the day of salvation. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it is, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1 says, we then, say that's me, we, workers together with him. Oh, we get to work with Jesus. Oh, glory. We're yoked up with him. He's yoked up with us. He said that when we're yoked up together, that his yoke was easy and his burden was, and he said, you would learn of me. Come on. Matthew 12, 38, 39, and 40. We learn of Jesus. Amen? Okay, I got to. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, don't you love that? He saith, not man, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation, and I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, the kairos time. This is the set time, the proper time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, immediate, present, present. Today's the day that God's wanting to save everybody. And so that means that you and I have possibility, opportunity, but we have probability. You know why we can't get people saved? Because we don't believe anybody wants to be saved. Now, don't get mad at me. Look at me in that tone of voice. If you really believed, if I really believed that this was the set time for people to be saved, our heart would be on what? See, I've let the devil convince me that nobody wants to be saved. Look at the church numbers. They're going down. People don't want to be a part of organized religion. They want to be a part of something that's bigger than them. A real God. A real God that is represented by Jesus. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Amen? We've got to show them Jesus where they'll know that there is a Father God, there is a Creator. They're in bondage. They're in bondage, and they need to be brought out. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, here Moses is being led by God to bring people out of Egypt, out of bondage. Let me see where we're at. Hallelujah. And notice this. In verse number 13. Exodus 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, this is important, but this is a two-part. Most people preach on this, and they quit in verse 13, and they miss the whole point. We've got to get people to stop running to and fro in the earth, get them to stop long enough to see the salvation, see Jesus. That Jesus is brighter, He's greater, He's warmer, He's more loving, He's the answer in this world. So, how do we get them to stop? You recognize that the devil is so good at getting people so overwhelmed? Come on, people, if they wake up, the first thing they got to do is either turn on the TV or grab their phone. I'm being honest. If the devil works on me not trying to keep me to sleep, and I try to pray for a little while, and then I get tired and tired, and if I'm not careful, I go, well, if I watch a little TV, I get bored and I go to sleep. God wakes us up for a reason. He wants to talk to us. Do you realize if you're having trouble at night, you know why? The witches and the occult people, they're more faithful to their God than sometimes, I'm not talking about you, than sometimes I am. They're very faithful. You know why it's so hard? Do y'all not feel the attacks during the night? They're praying against you to their God. They're coming against you. They're bringing stuff against you. But we got to stand in the fact and say, God, you said that I'm blessed, and whom you bless can't be cursed. Amen? We got to stand in the Scripture, and we got to repel those things by the Word of God. He said, stand still and see the salvation. Jesus is the Savior. Yeshua. God's Savior. So we got to get people to stop running to and fro, being so busy to see Jesus. How can they see Jesus? In you. In you. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Oh, Malakati Delibria Sunday. The favor of God that Brother Whitby was talking about this morning is that you and I have got to see the Egyptians floating dead. The Egyptians, every bondage that the devil wants to put on your life, every torment, every limitation, every hindrance is in Egypt. You're not in Egypt anymore. You're in the promised land. And you need to see those things dead, washed by the water of the Word out of your life. And when the devil says, but, you say, there ain't no buts. My God can't lie. Amen? When those spirits of lust, spirits of fear and anger and suicide and murder and hatred, when they try to come, say, they're dead. They're dead to me. Now, they're alive and they're working in the earth, but they're not working in you. Amen? Okay, verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, that's the message that we tell people. We tell them, God, if you'll stop and see God's Savior, Yeshua, Jesus, salvation, God will fight for you. Amen? But you've got to cease from striving. We covered in Sunday school this morning, and trust in God. But if you trust in God and you let Him fight for you, you've got to do the next verse. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? He said, speak unto the children of Israel that they may stand still. We've got to take people where God wants them to be. Can I be honest with you? I need your prayers. The devil's trying to take me back. Now, he may not be attacking you that way, but that's the way he's attacking me. My God's greater. Amen? We've got to go forward. We've got to go forward. I don't care how good we thought the onions and the garlic and the things were in the past. They're not. Amen? We got to go forward. Now that means we got to get into some uncomfortable situations, but it'll work. It will work if we'll let God be God. Here's what he said to do, verse 16. But lift up thy rod. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Amen? Don't lift up the problem. Lift up the rod. The provision of God, the promise of God. The shepherd's rod, whom it represents. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. Come on. After we help people stop and see Yeshua, see Jesus, and we tell them that God will fight their battles, then they've got to use what God puts in their hand. Moses had a shepherd's rod, but that shepherd's rod, it could turn into the very thing that the enemy was working to stop him. Come on now. His rod, when it turned into a serpent, it swallowed up the serpent of the magicians. Jambres and, you know, what's the other one's name? Anyway, it stopped it. Second Timothy 3:8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, to do thee also, so do thee also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. Why? Because the rod, Jesus Christ, will swallow up the serpent. And we've got to tell people, when we hold up Jesus, come on, he'll do the work. Amen? All right, real quick. But if thou lift up the rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Come on, you are being called. You have been drawn out of the water of the world and drawn into the water of Jesus Christ. You've been born from above, born again by the Word of God. Amen? And you've been called to split the very waters of this world and to cause people to see the worldly signs for what they are, but to look and see the spiritual signs of the God who loves them and bring them out. Bring them out. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Okay, I know I got to quit. Man. Hallelujah. I've got something here I want you to read, though. I want to close with this thought. I wrote this down because I didn't have time to memorize it. But this is a true story. I want you to listen real close to this. A bright boy, this is a very young boy, heard and was deeply impressed by the Word of God being presented to him by a different Christian. A Christian that seemed to have love, that seemed to have fire. The Christian said to the young boy, God is saying to you, my son, give me thy heart. As the boy heard that, his heart turned warm. But he heard Satan whisper, time enough yet. So he put it off. 10 years later, there was a brilliant college student. He heard the same text under the same circumstances, which seemed to make him think of the time of his salvation should be now. My son, give me thy heart, is what he heard. But again, there was a tempter that whispered, time enough yet. 20 years later, a statesman listened to the same text from the lips of an aged preacher, and he felt the message was straight to his heart. This time the tempter said, you're young yet. You haven't seen the world. Visit the world before you decide, or you'll never get to.
Now let me take you to a traveler. A traveler is in Paris. All of a sudden, this traveler was stricken with cholera. But in his greatest suffering, he was in agony of soul because the doctor told him he was going to die and there was nothing that could be done, and he was not prepared to die. His last words, screaming, was, "It's too late. It's too late." The boy, the college student, the statesman, the traveler, we're all the same person. We're all in different stages of our lives. But by grace, you're saved this morning. You're on your way to heaven. But there's people from young to old who haven't been able to make the commitment that you have. But God is committed to them. But Jesus said to his believers, "Go ye into all of your world. Invite them to church. Preach the gospel. Give them the good news." See, I use church because it's the easy, simple way. Won't you come to church sometime? That's not offensive. Church won't save you, but the gospel will change you forever. We're in this set time. Out of the mouth of the Apostle Paul, by the unction of the Holy Ghost, he said, "Today, this day is the appointed time. It's the day of salvation." When you come to this altar, I believe with all of my heart, God is going to drop an anointing on us to cause people to see that this is the day. An anointing to be moved with compassion. An anointing to be able to distribute the favor of God into people who are without. Do you believe that? If you'll believe that, you'll receive it. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We honor you. Lord, I thank you that you allowed me this time with this group of people. Father, I love them, and I know that they love me because the love of God is in their heart. And I appreciate each one of them because I know that they're in different levels. They may be in a higher level or a different plane than I am. But I know that you're calling and you're putting this together.